He then deported 208,000 people to Assyria in the hopes that this would undermine the causes for rebellion. Marduk Apla-Iddina returned a few years later, but once again was forced to run, and this time he went to Elam. He died there at some point, finally ending this constant struggle that had lasted over the rule of two kings. The Elamites in Iran were allied closely with the Babylonians, and this even more than the tenuous hold that Assyria had in Babylonia, could have convinced Sennacherib that he needed to concentrate on securing the region. The people of the Sealand in the southern marshes also joined with Babylonia to try and force out Assyria. So we see that along the southern border of Mesopotamia, that there were multiple allies that were gathering together to take on Assyria. In 699, Sennacherib put his son and heir, Ashurnadin-Shumi, on the throne in Babylon, and he gave him a new palace from which to rule. His son ruled Babylonia for 6 years, and this seeming stability encouraged Sennacherib to begin an attack on the Elamites. He tried a new strategy, a naval assault. He hired experts from Phoenicia to build a fleet, and this was built on the Tigris and then sailed down to attack the Elamites from the south. In response, the Elamites moved against Babylon, captured Ashurnadin-Shumi, and they had help from insiders in the palace who were ready to turn the Assyrian ruler over, took him to Elam, and there he was killed. This sparked an extended conflict with the united forces of Elam and Babylon against Assyria. The Assyrians narrowly escaped disaster in 689 BC, but that year the king of Elam suffered a stroke, and Sennacherib was very quick to take advantage of this situation. After a long siege, Sennacherib finally captured the city of Babylon and destroyed it by flood and by fire. He took the cult statue of Marduk back to Assyria. Since this was the religious center of the region, and as such had had divine protection, in addition to legal protection in the form of tax exemptions and other privileges for centuries, this attack on the city of Babylon would have been utterly demoralizing and shocking. As usual, Sennacherib proudly recorded his triumph. He wrote, "The gods living in its midst, the hands of my people took them and smashed them. The city and houses I destroyed, I devastated, I burned with fire. The wall and outer wall, temples, gods, as much as there was, I razed and dumped them into the canal. Through the middle of that city, I dug canals. I flooded its ground with water. I made its destruction more complete than a flood. That in days to come, the site of that city and its temples and gods might not be remembered, I completely wiped it out with water and made it like a meadow." This scene that Sennacherib records makes us think of the long history of Babylon and the fact that it originally depended on the water from the rivers. And now these rivers were turned against it to flood the city. And if you think about the many times that we've discussed Babylon over the long history of this course, you can start to imagine what this behavior would have seemed like to those who lived in the region and really get a sense of the utter devastation and demoralization that would have been inflicted by this destruction. Later sources, granted, primarily Babylonian sources, strongly denounced Sennacherib and his assassination 8 years later by his own sons was seen as just retribution for his sacrilege against Marduk.